Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved family. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. We're going to continue right on in a message I've been sharing on the barren fig tree. Some very searching questions we need to apply to our lives. Are we bearing fruit for the Lord? And what does it mean to be fruitful for the Lord? We've been looking at the parable that is recorded in Luke, the 13th chapter, verses 6 through 9, the barren fig tree. And there's a situation that is described in Mark, the 11th chapter, and it is nearing the end of Jesus' ministry. He's in Bethany. He goes with his disciples to Jerusalem, and they leave. They're there for the day. They come home, and on the following morning, he encounters a fig tree. The Lord does. He sees it far off, and he basically curses the tree because it doesn't have any fruit. And then following morning, the disciples are just astonished because it's withered from the roots up. The very word of Jesus caused that tree to die because he said, "No man eat fruit of thee ever again." Now, this might seem a little perplexing and even a bit distressing, like, why would Jesus curse a tree when it wasn't the time of figs? And in other words, that wasn't the tree's fault. However, as we understand a little bit about the nature and the science of the fig tree, Christ was not being unreasonable. He did have a right to expect figs, that the fruit of the fig tree always appears before the leaves come out. And it's the only tree in the world that bears two crops in the calendar year. And of course, the usual plentiful summer crop is not gathered until May or June. But the trees in the Olivet region, they receive a lot of sun, and they could have had ripe fruit some weeks earlier. And so it's not strange that as early as Passover or Easter, the Jesus could find young, eatable figs, although it wasn't the, quote, usual season for gathering the fruit. So, beloved, what application does this have for us? Because this is the point of looking at this parable. Yes, it refers to Israel at the time that Jesus spoke, but it really relates to every single believer. We are a good tree. We're the planting of the Lord. We have a great privilege. He is the husbandman. He prunes. He fertilizes. He gives us rain and sun and spiritually all the things that pertain to life and godliness. So he has a right to expect fruit. And the Lord's hungry. He's looking for fruit. What do we have to offer him? Well, let's see what Scripture says. There are several references in the Song of Solomon. Chapter 4, verses 12 through 13 declares, "A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse, a spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits." Song of Solomon 4:16 says, "Let my beloved," she's inviting now her Jesus, she's inviting the king to come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. Song of Solomon chapter 7 verse 13 declares, "The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved." Can we say that to the Lord? Well, we see here that the master had a complaint, the owner of the vineyard. In verse 7 in Luke 13, he comes to the dresser and he says, "Behold, these 3 years I've come seeking fruit on this fig tree." And he's complaining because there's no fruit. And his comment suggests three thoughts and insights into the very heart of God. Let's look at God's dealings with us. Of course, he's talking about a fig tree, but we can see a parallel and an application and symbolic meaning to our own lives. First of all, there's long-suffering grace. Isn't that true? The Lord, when he passed Moses by, Moses wanted to see his glory. He's long-suffering, plenteous of mercy. He described his very character. Well, these 3 years suggest something like a threefold failure. 3 years represents a symbol of completeness, the full opportunities given to men. Opportunities for repentance, for conversion, which come to them in God's mercy in several stages and several times in their lives. 2 Peter 3:9 declares, He, God, is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. He knows our spirit's willing, but our flesh is weak. But, beloved, if we will lean on the Lord, we mortify the deeds of the flesh, not by willpower, but by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God. Now, up to this point, no judgment had been passed. The barren fig tree stands by grace alone. How grieved the Heavenly Father is to see grace bestowed in vain, or worse, used only for self-aggrandizement. You know, beloved, we have to really look at ourselves. I have to ask myself, how do I stand today? How do you stand, brother and sister? What about all your privileges? What about all the things God has done for you in your life? Has Jesus found fruit in your life? How long has it been since you were converted or saved or planted in his vineyard? Have you only been a receiver, drinking up the pleasant rains and sunshine of his gifts while he receives nothing? Beloved, God wants us to bear fruit. And so often we say, well, what is the fruit of the Lord? Well, he who wins souls is wise. It's our witness. It's our testimony of the good works. You know, faith without works is dead. And so that by our very lives, by the things we share in terms of our testimony, in terms of words of encouragement, this is all fruit. But also, aside from all of that, what are the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians is very clear, love, joy, peace. He also lists those things, the works of the flesh. So, in fact, what is living in the kingdom of God? It's not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is there patience? Is there temperance, moderation? Is there love? Is there long-suffering? Are these very characteristics of the Spirit of Christ, are they in your life? That's the fruit he's talking about. And so we see long-suffering grace being extended on the part of the, quote, owner of the vineyard or the orchard, and weary patience. In verse 9, he says, cut it down. Hear the words of Isaiah, the prophet, to King Ahaz in Isaiah 7:13. Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will ye weary my God also? It's possible for us to do that. Now, the trees outside the vineyard, mankind, they're judged by their character or sinful nature and their refusal, to accept salvation. Those inside the vineyard are judged by their works. In other words, if we have been truly changed, if we've truly repented, we have to make an effort. By our works, we are justified or condemned. Listen to what James said in the 2 chapter, verse 24. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. It's by faith. We can't work in terms of our salvation. There's nothing we can do. But our salvation, if we've been truly converted, we're going to bring forth fruit to bless the owner of the vineyard. The Spirit of God says, my spirit will not always strive with man. Privileges abused will be privileges lost. The servant that hid his Lord's money, remember that in the parable of the talents, he lost it and he suffered beside. It was given to those who had the 10 talents. And what does Paul say, this great apostle through whom most of the New Testament was given, the skilled and wonderful servant of God who was laid aside his life so that the gospel could be preached, that he could fulfill the heavenly calling, the divine vision that he was given. 1 Corinthians 9:27 says, but I keep my body under, or keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I've preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Mere lip profession will not save us from becoming a castaway as a servant. And then there's a very solemn question that is asked of the owner of the orchard, the vineyard. Why cumbereth it the ground? In other words, why does it clutter up the ground? It's absolutely useless. Every fruitless tree that is a fruit tree by nature, and if it's not bearing fruit, it's a cumberer. It clutters. And who can make a reply against this? Who can defend the fruitless? This is a powerful analogy of trees in the garden. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. And so, beloved, the roots, if you will, or the motives of a fruitless Christian get intertwined with those of the fruit-bearing and drink up that which should have gone to the fruit-making. In other words, Christians spreading barren branches over others hinder the bright sunshine. They affect their fruit-bearing. The inconsistencies of professing Christians have been the destruction of much fruit. They act as a biting frost upon the tender bud. And so this explains the anger and impatience of the owner. There are some very serious questions, and we have to look at our life and say, oh Lord, I'm sorry for being lukewarm, for not caring, for having lost my first love, because if we are so in love with the Lord, we'll want to bear forth fruit. Amen. Well, my time has just flown by, and tomorrow we're going to see God's mercy yet extended. The Lord, in His justice, has a right to say, let's just tear up the tree. It's just wasting, it's useless, it's cluttering up the ground. And now we want to look at the dresser's intercession, which is a sign or a parable of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. I do hope you won't miss this broadcast. If you should ever do that, just go to www.unveilchrist.org and you can listen anytime at your convenience. Just click on the podcast. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for joining me today. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless.
Oh, behold.